A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 9th January 2024, our usual Thursday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code. We are at Unique Dhamma Code 144. And as usual, we gather and have physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Ven Su Pu Sa, Namo Ven Su Pu Sa, Namo Ven Su Pu Sa, Namo Fo Pu Sa, Namo Fo Pu Sa, Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhimi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Pānatipātā Vairamani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā Vairamani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu Micchācārā Vairamani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā Vairamani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya Majjhapamādatānā Vairamani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena ปุเปนาหังสุขังหินาปูจาเยปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานะมุตตมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูพังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินัสสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปาริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโภชานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุมุตตมัง Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami or generosity and the fruit of karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free Nibbana, and making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become powers, balance of powers, and sharing transcendental merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripaja. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. As usual, we are off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. This awareness-based meditation is very important. It's to enable you to stabilize your inner awareness nature. So we have a nature within that is just aware. That's it. Because that pure awareness nature is the primordial mind, or our original true mind that manifests from that nature. And from there, all the mundane thought process, emotion, thinking, movement, they arise. That's why that arising is a creation process from that nature, which is, we call it the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And the moment that mind arises, all things arise. We become a conscious human being that can contribute to existence, movement, and manifestation. That's why this mundane activity and thinking, or the stirring of the mind and the reactive movement, create what we call the karmic movement. So this karmic movement follows the law of karma. So the purpose of meditation is to develop this inner awareness, stabilize it, to see all this manifestation, this creative process, this arising of the mundane thinking, the mundane mind, the thought process, and the emotion, together with how the mind through the brain accumulated all this through knowledge, and develop all our views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. That's why without the pure awareness, you cannot understand. So pure awareness-based meditation is very important. As explained, you have to train your mind so that it becomes very quiet, very still, so that you can realize the pure awareness within. So to do that, the fastest way is to bypass all the method techniques or what they call skillful means that people use. You can start it from there and slowly come back to the same thing. But if you know that all these are skillful means to anchor your mind so that it does not wander off, so that you can be in the position to be aware or not to have thought activity or movement. So for people who don't have the ability or understanding, they need the object of meditation, the method, the technique, and the instruction to anchor their mind. But for us who have the understanding, the moment you are without thought, your awareness nature is really there. That was your true mind, your silent mind, your primordial nature. So silent everything. That's why I say relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize the awareness. That's it. No need to know, no need to do anything. Just train this way. And your mind will settle down. When you are able to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness without thought, you will realize your true mind. Then you can develop a lot of understanding. Build that silent mind, which is your meditative mind or true mind, is capable of wisdom. It can insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. It can also enable you to see things as they are without any thought activity or interference from the mental thinking or views, opinion, and conditioning. So that pure awareness nature within can give rise to understanding, can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena and awaken. There is a reason why we need that pure awareness. Then when we can be in that state of silent inner awareness, to be aware of what is going on, then you will understand how you entangle yourself, how through delusion you create your own wrong thought that condition your own suffering, both mental and physical suffering. And because the mind attach, cling, and give meaning, mental suffering will follow. Yeah, so all this, they are part and parcel of meditation. So now coming back, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can train your mind to be aware. Remember the four support. Eh? The first is relax body and mind, completely relax. Then allow the mind to be. Let things be. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Then maintain the awareness to be aware, that's all. Don't create any more thought process. Then continuously let this mind settle down until it becomes very quiet, very still. So the third support is, after you maintain the awareness, you allow it to stabilize. So stabilizing the awareness without thought is very important. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Then let it settle down. Then as you are able to become more and more skillful in your understanding and development of this inner awareness, then the mind will suddenly become very quiet and very still. Then you will understand beautiful awareness nature within. Then you will understand why I always ask you to inquire without thought. Who are you? What are you? What is that so-called awareness nature within? Is it a being? Can it come out and live life? Can it give rise to words and all those things? So all this you will understand. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. Remember, the first three support is relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. Then after that, for those who have stabilized their inner awareness, you can develop the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative understanding and movement. So the fourth support, you need to stabilize your inner awareness first, until most of the time you are just aware without thought. Then silence everything, stay at the heart area. And let the true mind, the silent mind, develop the movement. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Then this awareness nature will move on its own. Wherever it wants to develop the understanding, it will stay there. Then something will happen. Then the movement, it will move by itself. That's why we call trust that nature to develop the meditative understanding. Don't go and interfere with the thought process. Don't guide it or try to direct it. Don't. Well, that is the thought itself. Okay? So now I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will set the alarm 30 minutes. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to make use of, to live life, to develop the awareness within life itself. Finally, accumulating into what we call the daily mindfulness means throughout the day you are just aware most of the time without thought, with little or no thought. You only need to arise a thought when there is a need to do so. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chirkawalesu Atva Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vijjācarada sampanno sugato lokkavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sārati sattā deva manusānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Bhajyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato Sākha Sāngo Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sākha Sāngo Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali karaniyo anuttaraṃ puṇyaṃ kethaṃ lokāsādi Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, now you can be seated. Then we will continue with where we stop. So we have completed Unicode 143, which is on page 39. Then now we will continue with the Unicode 144. So 143 is about the thought process. So I will just go through it as a revision so that you all may recall, then I will continue from there. So Unicode 143 is very important. so that you can understand clearly how thought comes to be, how living being arises, the thought process. So I said thought is consciousness plus its content. And what are the content of consciousness? They are your aggregates of mind, which is feeling, perception, mental activity or sankhara, etc. Everything that the mind can do. And you combine them, it becomes the thought, which is also the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. This mental five aggregates of form and mind is very important. It is what your thought is all about. All of your thinking, thought activity, even the stirring of the mind, the reaction that brings about emotion, various type of mind states that living being experience, they are all part of your content of consciousness, which is sankhara. Yeah. So this part we have control. Then I also have explained to you how from our original primordial nature, which is a pure awareness nature, we have this spacious awareness nature within us, which is the oneness. Then because as a human being, we are trapped with the consciousness inside. So through the karmic process, the rebirth of consciousness over time become the sophisticated, what we call content of consciousness that goes through the process of living. And all this conditioning create the memory, the knowledge. All your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system come from your knowledge, your learning, the brain activity. Yeah. That's why if you look at a human being, we are actually a bundle of memories together with all our views, opinion, condition and belief system. That's what defines us. So from there, we live. And all this come from the thought process. As the thought process continue to manifest, you condition more and more entanglement, more and more what they call emotion, especially your accumulated experiences in life, good and bad, especially the negative one, like your phobia, your insecurity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your whatever negative emotion. They constantly haunt the living being. And through memory, you actually cling on to them, hold on to them. Because through delusion, you grasp, you cling, you give meaning. And that's how they have power over you. Basically, like I explained, it's only a thought. It comes and it goes. How come it has power over living beings? Can cause them to be so full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Basically, it's just a thought through consciousness. And thought arise and pass away. If you let things be, everything is the way it is, very peaceful. They follow nature's law, the paticca-samuppanna, the movement. If there is no interference, no avijja, no ignorance, no sakayadity, then everything is beautiful. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. But because of the thought process, the thinking faculty, living being trigger off the delusion. that condition, their heedlessness, their heedless thinking, their wrong thought, that condition, their mental suffering, clinging, grasping, and holding on to things. So all this, we need to develop understanding. Then the next unique code is to explain to us clearly what the content of consciousness is, mainly what Sankhara is. So I read you the unique code 144. There are four English words used to explain Sankhara, or the content of consciousness, and they are mental activities, mental volition or mental intention, mental states, your moods, your emotion, your mind states, and mental formation, the images that we form inside the thinking process or the thought process. All these four, when you put them together, they still do not completely define what Sankhara is. In fact, if you really develop awareness-based meditation, you will come to understand everything that your mind can do, including your mental planning, scheming, cunningness, etc., are part of Sankhara. So, like I explained, everything that your mind can do, they are part of content of consciousness, Sankhara. So, apart from all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, your phobia, your insecurity, then your so-called excitement, even your planning, your cunningness, your scheming, then your deep resentment, hatred, emotional negativity, they are part of what we call Sankhara, which is your content of consciousness. That's why content of consciousness, most of them are rubbish, and you have a lot of them. Especially your negative emotion and wrong thought that is conditioned by Sakayaditi, where you grasp on to, cling on to, give meaning. All this, if you don't have awareness, you cannot see, you cannot understand. And because of that, you do not understand what is going on in life. Then you will not have much understanding of who you are, what you are. Self-knowledge, which is so important, is not there. So not able to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how you develop all those negative emotions that condition your suffering and affliction, is the result of your own ignorance and delusion, not understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, the five panchaniyamas, especially the three spiritual laws, law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth. The other two are scientific law, utuniyama and bijaniyama, physical law of nature, followed by the what they call biological order of nature. So on this, as you develop the meditative understanding, you will come to understand them all. So now I will explain to you further using the whiteboard. So what happened is, initially, like I explained in the last Thursday session, the first thing to come out from our nature, which is the source, or you can call it the oneness nature, true nature, nirvana, or whatever, is the pure awareness nature. This is what awareness is, or sati, or mindfulness. There are various equivalent English translation. Yeah. But mainly it's just a nature inside that is aware. And this nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But this pure awareness nature is the primordial awareness nature that is already there all the time. As long as the thought is not there, then this nature return. Or not to say return, you can become aware of this nature. But it's also from this nature that you create, from the spacious awareness, you create thought, thinking, the emotion, the thought process. Then you accumulated them through memory that becomes your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And all this is what the human psyche is all about. We call it the psychological activity or thought movement. That's why when thought arises, psychological time arises. It's like you are moving within the thought world, the thought process, the thinking. And that is psychological time. Whereas when this thinking stops, you experience the timeless, no more psychological time. When there is no more psychological time, your pure awareness nature returns. That's why you will experience tranquility, stillness, and absolute peace and silence within. That is what your nature is. But from this nature, it can create thought. So how does it create thought? Well, we have the sixth sense door. The physical body has the six sense bases. The five physical senses, the eye, the ear, the nose, the bodily tactile, yeah? And also your whatever smell, taste, together with the tactile. It consists of the basic five basic senses. Then we have a brain, which is our sixth sense basis. And this brain, because it has accumulated knowledge, or what we call memories, this one can trigger off what they call perception. And this is the one that you need to be aware. How you arise the perception to know the world. That's why if you want to perceive something through your senses, like your eye, you need to shrink this spacious awareness into a small space to perceive. Like you want to perceive my voice, you have to shrink to where my vibration is. And you want to perceive the Kuan Yin image, or Buddha Rupa, or any of the people or furniture that is within this house, you need to shrink your seeing consciousness to that object, to perceive it through memory, where you recall through memory. So when you shrink it into a small space to perceive, then this small space become the new limits. Instead of spacious awareness, you have created a small space which we call the receptacle to receive the content. The moment you perceive, that content went in. Your perception is the content. Then your view and your opinion of what that thing is which you perceive will create the stirring of the mind, the reaction, the movement. Then through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and habitual tendency, you react to what you see. Yeah. Then you stir your mind. Then you have like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then you have all the duality, the cunningness, the selfishness, the emotional negativity, all the content of consciousness movement. That's why from perception, sanya, you create what they call sankara activity. That's why sankara sanya become very active. And that one, Ajahn Buddha does, Ajahn Buddha taught in Thailand, he called it cooking. The mental thinking is like you are cooking something inside there. So this sankara sanya, perceive thing, react, stir. This is what is going on in the living being's mind, mundane mind. We call this heedless thinking when you are not having the Dhamma understanding and wisdom behind. Then your awareness is not stable enough to see all this and understand all this. Then you get yourself entangled. So now coming back to this content of consciousness which we earlier on talked about, the small space and the content of consciousness. So this content of consciousness, like I mentioned, everything that your mind can do is the content of consciousness. So we ask ourselves what our mind can do in order to understand the aggregate of mind. The first aggregate is Vedana, feeling. Our mind can feel pleasant, unpleasant, hot and cold. Then it can develop emotion too. So feeling alone is a very wide range of sankhara activity already. Then perception. There are so many things you can perceive through the six sense door, each and every sense door. You can perceive so many things, like your seeing consciousness. You can perceive everything that is within your field of vision. Once you open your eye, it like exists, it becomes real. Then you can perceive whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel all things. And these are the mind rights, possibility of creation or sankhara activity. So this content of consciousness, there is a lot of things inside there. Yeah. So feeling alone, combining with all the emotion, it is a very major field of the mind stirring and reaction content. Then perception also same. Through your six sense door, you can perceive so many things. Every sense door, there is so much perception that can arise. Yeah. Then when you perceive, you have your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, all this, even your habitual tendency, will cause you to react and stir. So what happens is that sankhara, the balance of things that you can do apart from feeling and perception, is the resultant of perception and what we call feeling or the emotion. So when it arises, depending on your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system and understanding, even your phobia, your insecurity or whatever, or your accumulated sorrow, lamentation, deep resentment, hatred, envy, jealousy, all this type of mind state, they were developed into a cocoon of thought moments and it will engulf you and trigger of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, including all the mental suffering that associated with it. Then because you only know the instrument of thought, you thought everything can be resolved through thinking. So what you do? You use the thought to try to analyze, try to reason, and try to come up with the answer to liberate or free, not knowing that thought is limited to this small space. You cannot be aware of whatever that is outside this space. That's why when you are lost in thought, you cannot be aware. And when you cannot be aware, you cannot develop the direct seeing, the insight in the phenomena to awaken to the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this thinking within, sankhara activity will trap you. That's why you start to plan. Then you start to develop all the scheming. Then you start to develop all the what they call understanding or knowledge, thinking that with knowledge you can become famous, you can become somebody. So all this will create and strengthen your ego, the egoic mind, the personality. Then your views, opinion and conditioning will cause you to have conflict with society, with fellow living being. Then all of the duality, that living being arise, that can bring about division within the civilization, can lead to a lot of chaotic moments like war, conflict, misunderstanding, argument. All this is the resultant of the thought process. From the thought, through the six sense basis, we created what we call consciousness. The six sense basis have six type of respective consciousness. That's why this world where we live in become the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why we call it the PWC, phenomenal world of consciousness. And this is what we call existence, the conditioned world, life. So from here, the entanglement, the what they call, that's why I call this conditioned world, which is the existential world, will start to lure you and entice you to believe and grasp and cling on to a lot of the creation here. Then you give meaning. Then from there you get angry, emotional, and you actually strengthen the content of consciousness until it engulfs you and causes you so much suffering. Then you start to seriously look at life. Then most people cannot come out of it where they lack wisdom. They don't have the Dhamma understanding. They are trapped within this. When they are trapped here, they are always here within the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why the teaching from the Buddha is to bring you back to the pure awareness nature, and from here you observe how this creative process come about, how the five aggregate of form and mind start, and this become the living being, the two aspects. Then from there, how it create through the thought process, the thinking, the phenomenal world of consciousness. And this is the entire spectrum of existence, the creation, the four stages of creation, the formation. That's why I call this the stages of creation. Then understanding all this can give us a very deep understanding of not only life, but to transcend life. Because if it's only a thought, how come it has power over us? Because we deludedly cling on to it, give meaning, and dwell too long inside here. We should silence everything and return the phenomenal world of consciousness and silence your thought process and return to your pure awareness nature and stay there. Then from there, you can observe to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, which is a five aggregate of form and mind, the living being. For our case, it's the human being. And how from here you created the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why I say you will come to know clearly, who are you, the five degrees of form and mind? What are you, and how you function as a human? How you create all the mundane activity of consciousness with its content? How thought comes to be, how your emotion, how you stir, how you react, and how you give meaning. And the views, opinion, conditioning, belief system created all the division within humanity in the world. And that's how the whole, what they call danger of existence, manifests. When you cannot see the danger of this, we are delusion, then you cannot understand how from spacious awareness it can, through the thought process, entangle you and develop all the unnecessary suffering and misery within the living being. So this part, you need to silence your mind, develop the awareness, stabilize it, and see clearly how from the pure awareness nature or the spatial awareness, your thought process starts. When you are really in the awareness-based meditation, you can see all this. That's why I give you a very strong hint. Without thought, who are you? Without thought, you are back to this. And when you are here, you try to find out, who are you? What are you? Then you realize, this one is not a being. You cannot come out and live life. This one is just the nature, pure awareness. Without thought, without reality, nothing. That's why I say, you are nothing. You are nobody. You are not a thing. You don't have a permanent, unchanging entity. This is not you. This is a nature that come out from the source. And that nature is the primordial nature that will spin off the thought process and create the thought that develops into the phenomenal world of consciousness and entangle human being. So when you see this, the realization is very powerful. You will come to know who are you. What are you? What is this five degrees of form and mind, the two aspects? Then you know this one is dependent originating. From the pure nature, it arises through causes and conditions. Without causes and conditions, nothing happens. That's why you have the karmic process, the paticca samuppada, the dwelling, and the law of truth. And all these are nature's law that governs life and existence. They are within the conditioned world. Your conditioned world has its own sets of conditioned dhamma. And the panchaniyama are the, what they call, nature's law that is already set to govern all of creation and existence. That's why whoever who understands the panchaniyama will understand life and existence. Then you will like awaken, transcend, then you will become very different. Then you can not only understand life, you can understand the whole of creation, even civilization, the transformation of civilization, how all this become possible. That's why the possibility of different era, different civilization is like unending. Because this existential world has so much possibility of manifestation. That's why during different era, you look at our planet, our Earth, you will also know, even our small planet, it has evolved for so many billions of years. Then after that, it will cease, then new arising. And that process will continue. And that is very, very long. That's why we talk about planets, star system that are visible at the moment is already nearly 15 billion light years away. That is the immensity of what this universe is all about. Travel at the speed of light for 15 billion years, you still haven't reached the boundary of it. And the actual dimension, nobody knows unless you become a Sammasambuddha. And all this creation, they are dynamic, moving all the time. That's why the scientists are also very confused. How can the universe be expanding at such a rate, non-stop until now? Then how does it begin? There is no answer. Because the missing link is this pure awareness nature. This one is not the normal consciousness. This is pure consciousness without its content. That's why unless you go into this, which is within our nature, and you cultivate following the Bodhisattva way to realize what this source is. And then from there, because from here everything come out, then when you are there, you will have all knowing knowledge to understand all this. That's how the Buddhist Dhamma, the teaching, manifests and becomes so unique. So finally, with the wisdom, perfection and the understanding, you will understand the meaning of life, the secret of life, what existence is, what life is, and how you can really, through that understanding, truly live life and develop all the possibility of having what we call a wonderful existence. Then life become meaningful, life take a turn. Then you can really live life to the fullest. You can come to experience all the pristine beauties and wonders of life. That's why life is not what people think. Not like a lot of people who didn't have clear understanding of the teaching. They always tell us the first noble truth, life is suffering. No, the first noble truth never say life is suffering. He said there is this first noble truth that explains clearly the prevalence of suffering. Because these are reality of life and if you go through life, this reality, the eight reality that the Buddha defined under the first noble truth, they will manifest. Then when they manifest, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you will entangle yourself and you will suffer. That's why that prevalence of suffering doesn't mean it's suffering. That's why under the second noble truth, the Buddha explained, there is a cause behind. Sakkaya ditti, that condition you're grasping, clinging and craving. Then third noble truth, suffering need not be enlightenment in the here and now is possible. You can realize the unconditioned to liberate your mind from the conditioned world. So all this becomes possible and very beautiful. That's why life is not suffering. And through this cultivation, you can perfect yourself and develop all the wisdom and understanding and understand life deeply. Yeah. Then you can live life. Okay, let me have a drink. Yeah? My throat is starting to irritate. Maybe I will move on to the next unicode, 145. So, as explained, Sankhara is the content of consciousness, or everything that the mind can do is Sankhara. So, the first two aggregates of feeling and perception are also part of Sankhara. That's why when you study the Abhidhamma, they will tell you Sankhara, there are 52. Yeah. 52 is because they include Vedana and Sanya, means feeling and perception. You take that out, the Buddha was able to summarize them into 50 Sankhara activity. And they are mainly mind states, the mental activity, mental formation, all the mental movement within, including your planning, scheming, your selfishness, envy, jealousy, and all these things. So consciousness basically is the pure receptacle. You know what is a receptacle? Something that receives the content. Like you have a cup, there is space within. You can pour in the content. It can be water, fluid, or drinks, or whatever. So this cup, if it's void or empty space within, is like a receptacle to receive whatever that you pour in. So likewise, our pure spacious awareness, when you shrink it, it becomes a small receptacle to receive the content of consciousness that we input through our memory, our brain, our thought process. So your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, together with all the memories, the content, your knowledge that you hold, including all the belief system, etc. This one will mold you, including your habitual tendency, your phobia, your insecurity. All this actually is part of your psyche. And you are defined by this, not knowing that these are knowledge, not wisdom. That's why you depend on the brain to live life, you will have problem. That's why Krishnamurti is very wise. He said, acting according to memory is not acting at all. What is memory? All of it is mainly rubbish. Yeah. Because your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever emotion, especially negative emotion, they will haunt you. They will grasp you. They will cause suffering in you. Yeah. Because when you recall your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your deep resentment, everything, they will come back and haunt you. So understanding all this is what the Dhamma requires us as cultivator of the way, to develop the inner pure awareness, to be aware of the whole activity and movement, and realize what entangles us and how we, through our own sakyadity, delusion and ignorance, continue to be afflicted by the thought process. Then through that understanding, the thought suddenly, through wisdom, realizes itself and ceases. Then you understand what the Buddha meant by sabbe sankara anicchang. All thought activity, sankara activity, is impermanent. They come and they go. There is no permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. They are not intrinsic within your nature. They are dependent originating mind states. We are the creation process. Everything is dependent originating, condition arising. And when you understand all this, you suddenly like awaken. Then the thought realizes itself and ceases. Then every time you think, every time you plan, you scheme, or you do all those funny things inside there, even your analysis and your reasoning, it cannot give rise to wisdom, it cannot free you. It will entangle you more and more. And because of that, the Buddha says, sabbe sankara, not only anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang. All sankara bring about suffering. When you continue to create the thought process. Because this is what heedless thinking is all about. Without wisdom, without the Dhamma understanding, you will continue to think. You will continue to entangle yourself. And you lost yourself into that small space, thinking that That is what you are, the egoic mind. Then you think, there is a thinker behind the thought. You think you are that permanent, unchanging entity that is responsible for the thought process. Then you deludely grasp onto all the emotion. You think fear is you, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation is you. That's how you get yourself entangled. You think greed is you, selfishness is you. That's why you try to root it out. You try to do away with it. We are what? Suppression, control. You can't. But they are not intrinsic within your nature. They are dependent, originating thought activity or mind state that is independent of your true nature. That's why it's not inherent within our nature. Then when you realize fear is not you, anger is not you, selfishness is not you, and all the negative psychological emotions are not you, then why you want to fight it? Why you want to push it away? Why you want to do so much foolish and deluded thing to try to get rid of it? The easiest way to get rid of it is to root it out through wisdom. When you understand that these are all sankhara and they are anicca, bring about dukkha, then, like the Buddha said, the third way, maintain awareness and stay with the mind state. Stay with the thought process, the emotion. Whatever arises, be with it. Then you realize it is. Then you realize everything that is dependent, originating, need energy, need delusion to continue. Then when you develop the pure awareness nature, which is your inherent pure wisdom nature, that one can cause it to cease. Then you realize your true mind again. You return to your pure awareness nature, which is tranquility, stillness, silence, peace, and awareness. Then you realize that is so beautiful. No more suffering. Cool, quenched, tranquil, still. And that is the realization of the true peace. Then when the mind realizes all this, it will cease. Then when it ceases, even the pure awareness nature also ceases. Then only you can realize Nibbana, which is the unconditioned, that will bring forth the understanding of what that source is. Then you can, through the cultivation, detect the gateway to your nature. Now each and every form of mind that arises within the existential world, you are connected to that source. That's why there is a gateway for us to go in. Then through that gateway, you can develop the cultivation and finally be with the pure awareness nature. Then the pure awareness nature can continue to transform your nature within until your transformation of consciousness becomes so fine, so tranquil, so still. Then what happens is the mundane mind collapses. The thought with all the images collapse no more. Then the pure awareness nature shine forth. After that, you can understand everything. You can live. Then you can also use it to develop all the spiritual activity and movement through the fourth support, which is trust, to illuminate that nature within. Until you become very, very clear about what that nature is. So Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature is the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Then when you can do that, you will have the wisdom developed to understand the whole creation process that I have shared with you. Then from there, you will know how to develop the cultivation further by developing this Bodhi mind that renounces samsara. Yeah, by then, samsara got no more meaning. It cannot delude you anymore. It cannot deceive you anymore. The phenomenal world consciousness has got no more power over you. That's why all this existential world, samsara, loses its power or meaning. Then from there, you perfect yourself until you become a samasambuddha. You will fulfill the cultivation of the 10 perfection. Then after that, when that become complete, that nature transform, and you can become what they call the samasambuddha nature. So this samasambuddha nature is a very unique nature. That's why in the sutta is mentioned omniscient, all knowing and all those things. But it's actually the nature of the perfected, fully enlightened samasambuddha. And that nature is not a being. That's why samasambuddha, like any cultivator, it also has a spiritual nature, except samasambuddha has perfected the spiritual nature until it's fully enlightened, perfect in enlightenment, understanding and virtue. That is the only difference. Okay? So hopefully with this sharing, you can develop the understanding. So we stop here. The next session, we can go into unique code 146. You can go back and go through it or read it up so that you are more prepared for the next Thursday class or session, so that you can follow easier and develop the understanding better. So I just read to let you know what unique code 146 is. Here I mention very powerful understanding for you all to develop as understanding. Everything you see and perceive is via your pure consciousness. But without the pure consciousness, you cannot see, you cannot perceive, you cannot hear. Means that perception through your senses, you need the pure awareness nature. But that one, during the direct seeing, when you are with the pure awareness nature, you don't perceive, understand? That's why we call that the direct seeing. The pure perception. You see things as they are, without word, without concept. So here I mention everything you see and perceive is via your pure consciousness, your pure awareness nature. Then you input the content of consciousness to transform it into a thought, which is where the problem starts. So this thought is actually your five aggregates of form and mind, second aspect. It is these five mental aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, that created the world and everything else through the phenomenal world of consciousness that you come to perceive. So all knowing comes from mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arise, all things arise. And that mind refer to the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought process. So this unique code is also very beautiful when you understand. That's why they are all related, connected. Okay? Okay, now we come back to our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, then we can also discuss on the Dhamma, whatever that we have shared, or anything that you want to understand about the teaching, you can ask.
Good evening, Brother Jiu, and all Karamita. Brother Jiu, 那天讲的是 first thought of ignorance.
对。
一个念头罢了，所以 其实一念就是一念天堂，一念地狱。
对，杀掉。
对，所以当有一个不好的念头，其实那个念头升起的时候，我只是 aware， 但是 knowingly 它已经形成，
对，
它把你带进去另外一种的，
对，
那个第二个
啊。
然后他就 like 过了几天，他就 manifest like 就是好像有点 emotional 这样 ，you know？ So 但是这个所有的一切的一切，我觉得是一个学习的机会。
对， because,
因为他他让你
他 you continue 感觉
他让你在整个的过程。看到怎样它怎样 manifest， 然后你 condition 你自己一个 wrong view， 然后放进去那个 content， 然后你就哇，整个就哇，就跌进去了。
All the stirring reaction and the movement 就从那边先出来了，就好像六祖慧能啊 ，his poem 啊 ，to tear down 神修's poem 啊 ，you know what he mentioned or not？本来无一物，何处惹尘埃？ That one is very important. Originally, our true mind, the pure awareness nature, the silent inner awareness, is nothing. That's why I say you are nothing. You are nobody. Nothing at all. No word, no duality, nothing. The where can the dust alight? Means the defilement, all those things. Yet they are not intrinsic.They arise through your wrong thought and wrong view. That true mind cannot create delusion on. But through the true mind, the pure weather nature, you can create the thought process. And without the Dhamma understanding, all the creative thought process that come out is all wrong thought. Most of the time, it's wrong thought. Your heedless thinking, your habitual reaction,to sense experience. All this, the cultivator of the way they have the pure awareness will see, will understand. Then you will come to know how you function as a human, how anger arises in you. That's why the Buddha said, trace the origination factor. Before anger arise, there was no anger. And how did anger arise? That's why through your daily mindfulness,your awareness of the internal sixth sense basis and the external sixth sense basis, you will come to understand that through one of the senses, either your seeing, or your hearing, or your memory through the thought process, consciousness, they trigger off that memory, that process. So when you hear something,or see something through your perception, then you use your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system to react to it. That's how the entanglement starts. But originally, the pure nature is empty. 本来无一物. Originally, there was nothing. Then where can the defilement, which is your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, and your phobia, insecurity, and all of your negative emotion, they are not intrinsic. How can they arise? Except 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? That dust is your defilement. You actually created it through your wrong thought, your wrong view.And these are dependent originating mind state. That's why your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, you cannot accept the reality of the moment. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions already set, but you want things your way. That's why you stir your mind, you react, and you create the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So,awareness-based meditation is to develop this inner awareness to observe and see how you have fallen, exactly like what you came to understand. How through one thought of ignorant or deluded thought, 意念之差. Because when you don't have the right thought, as a Noble Eightfold Path is all about right thought, then that one will actually create the deviation in you. That will cause the emotional negativity which you call defilement. But living being, like Sun Siu, he thought that pure awareness that he has, he must polish it until it shines so that no dust can align. That is where he go wrong, where he doesn't know how to cease that mundane mind and realize the true mind. Then when they realize the true mind, they realize you don't have to do anything. Stay with the awareness nature, and all this mind state cease. That is what the third way, the pure awareness-based meditation is. The third way is to be aware of whatever arises, be with it. Then you realize ultimately it ceases. We have no more delusion, no more feeding it with the wrong thought, no more wrong view. Everything is just the way it is. That's why in the light of sati or pure awareness, everything ceases. Where the creation cannot start, it cannot move. Then whatever that is like existing or sustaining that emotion, just like Jay Krishnamurti mentioned, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. That's why you let that momentum of thought process or the thing that supported your anger, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, just let it cease. Well, all the thinking, like I say, when you just maintain awareness, all of your sankhara activity, they will slow down. Slow down. And finally, end. And that is the wisdom path, the third way. So when you realize everything ceases, then you realize anger was never you. Fear was never you. All this emotion that you arise, a sankhara created activity, was never you. They are dependent, originating mind state, condition arising, causal phenomena, with the universal characteristics of impermanent. You grasp clean, give meaning, you suffer. And because they are impermanent, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That is sakyadity, delusion, deep-rooted delusion, sakyadity. And because of that, like you have control, you see all this, you understand, then when it stabilizes, you awaken. Then all the habitual tendency that cause you to react that way and stir your mind will slowly starts to lose its power. That as the light of awareness that shine forth, just like Kuan Yin mentioned, 照见五蕴皆空. When he was cultivating the prajna paramita, means perfection of wisdom, he illuminated the five skandhas and realized that they were all empty, not intrinsic within that nature. So, 五蕴皆空 is to know that the content of consciousness is empty, whole, nothing. That's why from there, she awakened and free from all the entanglement. So that illuminating and realize that they are all empty is very powerful. So the cultivation that has that insight, the awakening, the mind realizes itself and immediately the thing ceases. Then from the cessation, you come out again, you understand all this. You understand the four circle formation. Because when you come out, you will witness the creation process again. How from the pure nature, all of the activities start. Like I told you all and shared with you all last time, after 1989, when the retreat at Cameron Highland, when I went through the cessation, then end of the retreat, my mind was so still, so tranquil. There was no movement at all. The nature inside was so immense. Yeah. Then as I move, the nature inside was just that nature. No mundane thinking, mundane mind, nothing. Then as the bus move, I remember, my nature starts to understand how all the external sense data starts to come in. And before they come in, my nature knew already that creative process, that thought process, the input of content, everything starts to happen already. That's why I start to understand all those, I witness all those. Then after that, I like suddenly amazed. The secret of life is just like that, so simple. When you can silence that mundane thinking mind to be the pure awareness, to realize the cessation. And when you go through the nibbanic transformation and come out again, then you witness all this. Then as a living being with the pure nature within, you start to see how you return to become a human being. Then how all the thought activity, the senses, how the 18 sense drive, how they manifest. Initially it's like slow motion, show it to you until very, very clear. Then after that, I remember, nothing in this universe can actually deceive you anymore. Then you become so different. That's why after that, I just lie low and let things be. Because what has been realized and awakened to cannot be understood by ordinary living being. Not even cultivator, unless they have control and transform. So all this, it will manifest. Yeah. So for your case, it's very good, Alicia. At least you see, yeah, the process of this movement taking place. Yeah. Then later on, when the cessation come, you will go through what I described, then when you come out of it, you will understand much better. But at this stage where you have developed as understanding is already very good. Just to understand all this is not easy. You must have developed stability of inner awareness and able to observe your own sankhara activity, thought process, or your mundane creation, then the Dhamma become like very clear pointer to you. Then you can comprehend and understand it then very fast. What happened is your habitual tendency, that one need time to actually settle down. And that whole stability of it, not until then, all this so-called habitual tendency, they will start to move. Initially, it's like very fast too. But the moment it moves, you understand. Then it slow down. Then later on, it will not even move. You can laugh at it because the wisdom is so stable already. Then you will know how to make use of the teaching to arise the yoniso manasikara, means like the Buddha's word, condition like that, things feel like that, sitting as they are. Everything is just the way it is, suchness, tatata. So whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. That statement becomes so clear, so powerful. That's why cultivators all the way, when the understanding dawns upon them, they understand it very fast. But before you develop the cultivation, you got no idea what these words are. But to you is, what is all this? It's like very dry. Nothing to do with your understanding and why. Because you don't have the awareness, nature within. You don't have the Dhamma understanding, you are not penetrated all these universal characteristics and teaching. You have not gone through the training, the cultivation. So all this, do you know, do you, that the way is not easy when you don't understand. But when you understand, you will progress and you will develop the understanding very fast, equally fast. That's why everything is relative. You say it's difficult? Yes, very difficult. When you are full of delusion, ignorant, don't have the Dhamma understanding, don't have the cultivation, you don't even know you have two minds. You don't even know that there is an awareness nature within that can do all this and give rise to all this understanding. Then how can you transform and change? No way. That's why when you understand all this, then you realize it's because of ignorance, sacrality, that living beings are trapped. If it's not because of that, all will awaken. So this teaching, when you understand, is very easy. But when you don't have the understanding, it's like you cannot find. Even people speak or proclaim the teaching to you, you cannot understand and you will not be interested. You cannot even come near because of the coming obstruction and all those things. But most of our Kayamita, they have the Parami and they have the causes and conditions to develop the clear understanding. That's why this period of sharing, which is 20 plus years, is very beautiful. And it has unfolded so beautifully. It's like meant to be, because this is the sasana. You have your causes and conditions planted from the past. That's why you have the causes and conditions not only to be born as a human being, but to encounter the true teaching, the true Dhamma. And yet you can learn, listen to it, and progress, and develop the understanding of it. And all these are not by chance. It is because, like I say, each and every one of you, you have your unique parami which you may not know. A lot of the Kayamita, initially you would think, ayo, we are not like Brother Theo, so special, you have that nature, your path. You got nothing. In fact, you are also nothing when you started. But after you fall, you become very complicated, very complex. That's why you cannot understand, you cannot come back. To come back, you must have a simple mind. Don't try to know. Just relax, maintain awareness, and develop the stability of it. Then the understanding will unfold by itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, Alicia, you continue. Very good.
Okay, but you, because 我们的 seeing and then hearing are mostly because of 这两个, 我们会 fall 很快的。
对，所以 我们的 memory 在里面啊， 已经 over the millennium啊， so conditional. Then every life, your karmic, what they call activity and experiences, they are so what they call deep rooted. That's why habitual tendency are very difficult to root out. Then the reaction and the stirring initially is very difficult to do anything about you. That's why without wisdom, all this not possible.
Actually, 我有好一阵子都没有这样子的，但是他这一次来，我觉得是很感恩。为什么？因为让我更清楚的看到我这所谓的方面怎样去 manifest， 怎样的去 stir， 怎样的去 assist 他，然后
It's like very clear to you， 很明显的。
很清楚的给你的 observation of 这个 process 很清楚。对，当 Bradio 那天 Thursday 一讲那个那个
How you create thought, 那个 very powerful,
对，那个就很清楚。所以，我是想说，当我们遇到这些的时候，我们不要沮丧，也不要什么 ，OK, go through it, 面对。
对。
然后我们，他就好像怎么样说 ，after 这个哈，他就manifest 另外一个 stage of cultivation。
对。
那你怎么样就好像又进到很近了？他就好像有一个understanding arise 啊，他不会这样容易被外面干扰了。
对，
stage by stage 的给我们去，因为我们毕竟我们已经要发愿的，要走菩萨道嘛。
对，那个大愿走这条菩萨道，that one will drive you and create the causes and conditions for you to progress and develop all the clear understanding. So what Alicia is describing is what she is going through, which is very beautiful. Because unless you develop the correct cultivation with the right progress, all this cannot unfold and become a living reality. That's why she got so much joy, fancy singing, because she saw. When you saw how you become like that, how you get yourself entangled through that delusion, that is the awakening really. Because otherwise you cannot understand. So the understanding of how you fall is the wisdom that will actually straighten your view and make you different. That's why, like she said, it's like she knows she's going through another phase of cultivations, progress, and become very different. Then it's like all those things that used to like create suffering and delusion, now no more power. They start to like have less and less ability to cause her even to react or do anything. Then the habitual movement, which is the habitual tendency part, it will slow down. Then you will know, initially at the moment of sense experience, the old way of looking at thing and reaction may still be there, but you will become weaker and weaker and weaker. Then finally one day, you realize no more movement inside. Then everything is just the way it is. Means the suchness seeing. When you reach the suchness seeing, means your wisdom has stabilized. That everything is just the way it is. You just smile, you just laugh. Then you can be normal again. Kan san, yu se san. Then you can interact with society, with people, with everything. And you can be in the world like the lotus. Yet you are not affected by the world. Because the lotus stands above. Because from the pond, the muddy pond and all the field, it arises. After it arises, it blooms, it flowers above the pond. But it's still connected to the pond. Means, still within existence, but it has the wisdom and the pure nature up there. That's why the lotus analogy is very beautiful. And all the Mahayana tradition, the enlightened being has this lotus. That's why Amitabha Buddha, he liked to use the lotus analogy. Then he say, after you fulfill your vow and he created all the pure land, he has a very good lyrics, I think the song. Lian Hua Chu Chu Kai. Then he say, Yi Duo Yi Jing Tu. Wow, that was the most beautiful description of his cultivation. After he developed the perfection to be Samasambuddha under his Amitabha's vow, 48 great vow and understanding, then he realized he can create pure land everywhere. Lian Hua Chu Chu Kai, everywhere. The lotus just manifests now. Then every lotus is a pure land now. 一朵一净土啊，一花哦，不是一朵花啊呀，一朵花也是一花啊。So that one was a beautiful description. So as you go through the cultivation, you transform and you become so different. That's why all this become a living reality, a living possibility. Very good, Alicia, Sadhu.
Yeah, but 就因为在这个过程里面我可以感觉到当你有这样子的 mindset, 这个整个家不 harmony 了。
对。
那种感觉是非常的不好，然后
对。
就觉得生活不应该是这样，他的本来是生活不应该是这样。所以你就会很快的升起那个叫什么 right view 哦，它是
OK, 对 ，to straighten your view, then 你的愿力越来越强啊。
对，是的，是的，因为、因为那个 six sense door 还有我们的 five aggregates,
对，
我们如果不能好好的运用哦，我觉得是很怎么样说呢？
Yeah,
因为如果能用，
It's a way, 很可惜啊。
可惜，对，
因为好像佛陀 give the analogy, the five aggregate. When it comes to consciousness, you know the analogy is what? Consciousness is like a magician, no? You realize or not? Keep on creating illusion for you to see. You know? That's why when you understand the analogy, you realize the phenomenal world of consciousness is full of illusion and delusion to lure you.To entice you, to entangle you. Then when you saw all this and you awaken now, no wonder the analogy given by the Buddha is so true. It's the greatest magician. Because our senses, 好像你讲的那个六根呢, the moment you open your eye, you created the field of seeing consciousness. Everything within your field of vision like arise already, exists already, real.But the next moment you close your eye, the whole of the field of vision, that creation ceases to be. That's why it's only a thought. It come and it go, arise and it pass away. How come it has such power over you? Then through the sixth sense door, like just now I explained, every sense door, the perception is mind rights. A lot, unending. Then every perception,based on your views, opinion, and condition, you will stir and create all the emotion, psychological memory, emotion, negativity. So each and every sense, each and every aggregate of mind, so much thing going on. So that sankhara is the mind-right activity or thought process. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief.When mind arise, all things arise. The whole phenomenal world of consciousness, existence, civilization, everything that your mundane mind create, manifests already. And through the direct seeing, you awaken, all this will collapse in front of you because of the wisdom, because it loses its power to deceive you, to delude you.That's why the direct seeing, the awakening, the realization is very powerful. And that phase is the most beautiful. But I realize cultivation, it needs to go through all the phases. Like I say, when you go through the process of awakening, everything you come to realize, you can use different words to describe it, but you will experience the same transformation.Because that is the truth. See things as they are. No word, nothing. Everybody see the same thing. But the description of it may be different. That's why everything about the direct seeing is without word, beyond thought, beyond mind. And that is where the, what they call akaliko is, the realization of the unconditioned. Yeah. So, sanditiko, akaliko, all the the characteristics of the Dhamma are very beautifully described by the Buddha. That's why he is a Sammasambuddha. Entire analogy, all the five aggregates are very beautiful, especially Sankara and consciousness. Sankara is like peeling the what they call banana stem. At the core of it, layer by layer after you peel, it's empty. You think also like that, you don't think also like that. That's why I come out with that saying. Then after that, I realize the cessation of form and mind happen. Because thinking is sankara. Sankara not only dukkang, sankara is also anicchang. Then whether you think or you don't think, the condition will be the way it is. Everything just accord and flow with the causes and condition. And the manifestation of it is so immense. This existential world is unthinkable. It is so immense, like our universe. It's beyond the comprehension of normal human mind. That's why all this understanding, when they dawn upon the cultivator of the way, their understanding of life, existence, and creation becomes so different. And their wisdom becomes so different. That's why in the early days, there are a lot of things that I understand, I cannot share, I cannot describe it. Then I remember I used to tell Pamasri, maybe 5 years later, when more and more kayamita had done. And then we can talk about life in this way, which is no more the normal mundane description of it. Because when more and more people have the understanding and the cultivation, then the description of it become very beautiful. Then everything is just so beautiful. That's why we call it wonderful existence. Amazingly meaningful and beautiful. And that wisdom light just shine forth. And everything can be understood so clearly. Very good. Sadhu, Alicia, for creating all the good sharing and condition for this type of Dhamma to arise. It will help many cultivators along the way, and later on it can benefit so many kayamitas. Sadhu.
Yeah, very dear. Actually, 真的这一次我看到很清楚的 how sankara arise and then how it is. 因为你根本不会去理会它的，你根本不知道它的生灭，所以我也很感恩这一次的沙丘，来给我的去go through，就是怎么说，后来当我又静下来的时候。 然后我就去读那个楞严经的时候，Sadhu,
you will understand it so deeply, so beautifully.
五十音魔，哇，我看到，对，原来我们的所谓的 Bradio 以前讲的五十音魔，就是我们的那个 five aggregate
form，所以，当我看了之后，我就是。
就在所发言，我要好的去明白这个阴谋，so that我以后可以怎么样说，遇到这些困难的时候，或者这些 test 来的时候，我能够
go through, you will pass the test.
Yes.
Because the 五识阴谋, actually a lot of those who do energy field, not awareness based on they got trapped and they got entangled. Because that mind state, the 50 deviant samadhi that they develop, really make them feel like they have already become enlightened and they are very special. But these are the mind state that normal people cannot realize and achieve. But like I always say, cultivation is not about the fantastic meditation and experience. Cultivation is about awakening to the truth and the understanding. When you awaken, wisdom frees you. Understand? When you don't awaken, you think the psychic, the magic, all the fantastic mind state that you experience make you enlightened. No. Without wisdom, without the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot be an Arya, not to say an enlightenment. So all this understanding, as you develop the cultivation appropriately, you will understand. That's why it is very beautiful. 很好, Alicia Sadhu.
因为我读了之后，我就终于知道。 哇，原来佛就讲你在里面什么都没有，就是偶尔吧，这才是真正的。
When you are nothing, the egoic mind cannot arise, understand? 啊，各位，你会去想哦，哇 ，What is this 啊？为什么会这样呢？哇，应该是我成了啊，我 realize 了，哦，I have become so powerful, so special. Then 它会 create 到啊。 It's like you can perform magical thing or no. Oh, like night can become like daylight or no. And you can see through a lot of things or no. You can read mind, you can travel, you can do a lot of psychic ability. But then, do you understand life? Do you understand what is birth and death? Do you understand who are you, what are you? And do you understand how you get yourself entangled? As long as the ego is still there, the atta is still there, you are still trapped. Yet the wisdom that allows you to free and liberate is not there. That's why all the psychic field, they end up entangled with the 50 divine samadhi. And every aggregate manifests that 10 divine samadhi. For you to see, for you to go through, for you to experience. Especially the aggregate of Sankara. It will really haunt you and trap you. Then consciousness all the same. Like create a lot of illusion for you. 很好, Sadhu.
Brother Teo, 因为在 Brother Teo 这里学习的是正法, 所以我们 就那个 awareness base，所以我们就不会去面对那些不应该面对的。
That's why through awareness based meditation, a lot of the energy field cannot come in. Where your awareness nature is what that true mind is. And that one don't create one. That one direct seeing awaken you one. All about wisdom, understanding. Then it's like you are nothing. You don't have anything, like you are not special. But that itself is what makes you special. Where that wisdom liberates your understanding. Then your entanglement. Then all of life, the understanding, the condition, the unconditioned, how you come and how you make use of your coming to develop the perfect understanding of life and to truly live life to the fullest. Then you start to appreciate life existence. You see the beauty of it. Then you can get to realize the pristine beauty and wonders of every existential phenomena that arise within the existential world. It's like 真空妙有, the Kuan Yin's Heart Sutta, that teaching is very beautiful. When you realize true emptiness, existence or life become wonderful, really wonderful one. And that itself is really fulfilling, rewarding. Although not so real, not what you think. Form and mind is not a permanent, it's not you. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as all this understanding that can unfold. That's why the Bodhisattva way has its beauty, has its wonders. And all this is part and parcel of the whole Dhamma understanding that the fully enlightened being, Sakyamuni Buddha and all the Sammasambuddha, they have realized. That's why they share it with the world. And we are very fortunate in the sense that the Sasana is there and all this has become possible. And it can manifest as a living reality. Very good, Sadhu. Let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Akka satta cha pumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta watta camihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.